Good evening, everyone. It's so great to see you again as we finish out our day of meetings. We had just a wonderful afternoon after the food. We didn't get home till almost 4 o'clock. I said, oh my, we're going to have to turn right around and come back again. But we enjoyed a little time around the table and some refreshments, and the mayors graciously came over, and so we got to catch up with them before they leave here in the next few days. They'll be leaving on Thursday, and with Pastor and Mrs. Johnson as well. So we had a great time. Let me pray as we begin, and we have a packed hour. If it lasts only an hour, that'll be amazing, but we're going to move right along here. So let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll move right into the program. Heavenly Father, in all of that, I'm thinking of our busyness and the different aspects of our meeting tonight. I ask that you will not allow us to lose sight of the most important things. While we remember some of the things we learned this morning and look at some pictures related to the history of the church and have time maybe for a testimony or two and then the preaching of your word, help us to remember, Lord, that the church does not exist for itself, but you've made it so that it would proclaim your mercies and glory to the nations, and that it would worship you, it would follow your will, that each person would grow in likeness to Christ Jesus, our Savior. And ultimately, Lord, all this to redound to the glory of Him who bought us from our sins, loosed us from our iniquities in His own precious blood. We thank You for that. And we ask that He will get the worship and the glory tonight. No man, no individual, nothing like that, but Him and Him alone, who is seated at Your right hand, waiting till His enemies be made His footstool, and He rules on the earth with the rod of iron in His kingdom. How we look forward to that day. May Your will be done on earth, O Lord, as it is in heaven. May Your kingdom come, in other words, and we look forward to that day soon. Now, Lord, use this service to the edification of the saints. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I think I'm going to have Brother Dave come and lead us in our hymns to start with, so we'll have our hymns sing, and then we will have the video after that. Not video, but PowerPoint is what I mean, and we'll show that. And then the rest of the program will unfold before your very eyes. All right.
Let's take our hymn books and turn to 631 for our first hymn together, using some of the language of what we heard this morning from Ephesians chapter 6. Soldiers of Christ, arise. 631.
Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies through His eternal Son, strong in the Lord of hosts and in His mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trust is more than conqueror. Stand then in His great might, with all His strength endued, and take to arm you for the fight the panoply of God, that having all things done and all your conflicts past, ye may overcome through Christ alone and stand entire at last. Leave no one strength to strength go on. Wrestle and fight and pray. Tread all the powers of darkness down and win the well fought day.
Turn to our next one together, 598. 598, Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. The promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing on the promises of God.
423, the solid rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Holy lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His loving face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His hope, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. Around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh may I then in Him be found. rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Let's stand as we sing our next song together, I Am Resolved, 517.
Just going to share one verse of Scripture this evening. Thank you for that singing and for ministering in song to us, David and Michelle. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. I couldn't help but think of that verse when we sang that song about having His righteousness alone as our clothing before the throne of God's grace. What a blessing that is, as we looked at this morning, and you all know very well, I think, most of you, the only way you're going to stand before God that way is to have the robe of Christ's righteousness. That is all. Nothing else that you offer is going to cover you in an appropriate fashion, shall we say, before the throne of God. All right, we have the computer ready. The projector is pointing right at me, so I'm going to get out of here. And we're going to watch this presentation. This has been put together by Mrs. Reed. Where is she? She's just sitting down low there in a chair so she doesn't get noticed. But we are thankful for her effort in putting this together for our 30th anniversary. And Mr. Reed says he had nothing to do with this. She did all the technical work, all the artwork even, Dwayne. All the way those pictures are and stuff, she didn't let you touch it. She knew how she wanted it, huh? It means nothing in your... All right. Let's watch. There's 47 slides when I saw this last, so we'll see how long it takes to run through. We're looking forward to it. is wired into the sound system too, so you get a large jolt of sound. Don't let your heart stop. Pastor Johnson told me that when I was ready for him, I should just holler. So I'm hollering. Brother, please come and share with us the word. We look forward to your third installment tonight.
We want to thank you for, get this thing leveled up, for the opportunity to come and share with you tonight. And without a lot of deliberation, question for you, or questions. How many of you walk for exercise? How many of you think you should but don't? Walking is a profitable exercise. And it's something that we need to be occupied with. But walk also describes or speaks of relationship. Speaks of fellowship. Speaks of a way of life. We often use the term the path of our forefathers. Speaking of walk. For example, following a philosophy tells us of something of a walk. A walk is a path. It's a course to follow. It's a direction to move in. It's a plan of life. I want you to keep your Bibles handy with us tonight because we're going to be busy looking at different aspects of what's involved. So first of all, go back to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, and verse 1. And we have an example here. It says, when Abram, and we're going to call him Abraham, was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. It means mature. All right? And we understand that this is an example that God called Abraham to. Chapter 24 and verse 40. 24 and verse 30. And we have Abraham again. Now, Abraham is talking to his servant here, and he wants him to go, and he's directing him to go and find a wife for his son Isaac. And you go through the whole litany, and we come down to verse 40 of chapter 24. And it says, and he said unto me, now the servant is quoting this. It says, and he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel before thee to prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. God called Abraham to walk before him, and he testifies through his servant that that's what he did. He walked before God. Psalm 84. Psalm 84. I got to find it first. All right. Psalm 84. And we have in verse 11 a promise. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from him that walketh, what? Uprightly. So Abraham walks. The psalmist tells us that there's a promise for those who walk uprightly. Now, we have to assume that it's according to what God wants us to do and be. So there is that walk aspect that God promises to those who are His, who walk before Him as they ought to walk. All right, let's go over to Micah. You're touching places, you were touching places you haven't touched in a long time. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. No, I got to find him. He was here a while back, and so here we are. Oh, I find him here. He went away. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. And he says, He hath showed me, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly before thy God. So we have a promise, and we have a challenge in respect to the walk of all those things that are designed with a walk. Abraham was faithful in his walk. Was he perfect? He was mature. Now, I want us to go to the New Testament, and we're going to begin at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 12. And he says concerning this, speaking of Abraham, the father of circumcision, to all them who are not circumcised, but who also walk in the steps of faith, of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So that we find, and Paul uses Abraham as an illustration of what it means to walk before God. And in this case, to walk by faith. We have a lot of talk about faith activities, and it almost becomes a cliche to us. But the principle is we walk in, and that faith is what? Independence upon God. It's a walk that we are trusting something other than ourselves. And so, Abraham, that illustration, Paul reaches back and grabs that illustration that Abraham, as he lived his life, it was a walk of dependence, a walk of faith. He was trusting God. Did he fail? Yes, he did. But the principle is that God honored that when he got right with God. And so there is this walk of faith that a believer is called to, illustrated by Abraham. Now, go with us to chapter 6 and verse 4. We touched upon this a bit this morning, but not in this context. And he said concerning this, verse 4, Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He's talking about that life that we receive through the Holy Spirit when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Spirit of God comes to live within us. That's the new life. That's the life of the Holy Spirit. That's the life of God within us. We are to walk in that newness of life. How do we describe a walk, a pathway, a relationship? It's all involved in the subject of the matter of the walk that we have, to walk in newness of life, the life of the Spirit of God within us. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now, we talked about this morning, so I'm going to come back to it and recognize it, because it talks about Therefore now there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Going on. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For that the law could not do, for what the law could not do in his weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there's a negative aspect to this walk. We are not to walk after that old sin nature that we received when we were born. That old sin nature that we received from Adam. And we are not to walk after that fleshly nature. That's a no-no. That's a bad thing. And to recognize the importance of this, the old sin nature is not a walk that we are to be actively involved in. And so, recognizing this, not to walk after the flesh. Chapter 13 of Romans and verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. He said, well, everybody should be honest. That's right. But that honesty is not something that I generate. Now, there is a natural aspect that we know that honesty, what we say, honesty is the best policy. Well, it is. It's the only policy. It's not just the best one. It's the only one. But we are to walk as believers honestly, that is, with integrity. And that principle that goes with this. Now, you see what we're developing here. Tracing this subject of the walk and all that it entails for the believer in light of God's truth, that we are to walk in these manners, not after the flesh. We're to walk in newness of life, and we are to walk honestly. So go with us to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Two verses here. First of all, look at verse 16. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts or the desires of the flesh. We wonder why we struggle with victory in our Christian life. And the only answer to that is that the Spirit of God is to be the one who directs, controls, empowers, energizes. We are to walk after the Spirit. We are to let Him control our lives. Let Him be the boss. Let Him be the director. Let Him be the innovator. Whatever you want to use as an adjective to describe it. The Spirit of God is to be the one who directs in the believer's life. We cannot do it on our own. Let that set in your mind to grasp. We talk about, well, you've got to go out there and you've got to do it. You do, but you can't do it by yourself. That's why God gave us the Spirit of God. Walk by means of the Spirit. Verse 25. If you live in the Spirit, and you do. Why? Because the Spirit of God is the energizer. He's the one that, the life of God that comes within us. When we're born again, when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And He is our life. He said, if you walk in the Spirit and you do, or if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Do you think God wants us to understand that this is important? That this is a principle that we need to grasp as a believer? To be able to grasp the magnitude of what He expects of us, and as a result of that, saying, I equip you for that very walk. He provides that which is necessary. And the Spirit of God is that vital necessity that we need to recognize. let me go on. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Now, I want to go back to verse 8, and we've heard it, read it before, studied it before. For by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. That what? That God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Spirit of God is the one who produces those good works through us. Now, we're going to see some other things that relate to this very principle that are involved in this manner of walking in the Spirit. What He produces, these good works that we want to talk about, they're there. Chapter 4, verse 1. He says, Paul writes, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, believers were first called Christians at where? Remember? Antioch. Now, what was expected of them was to walk in that sphere, if you want to call it that, that relationship out of that position. We have received the message of salvation, and it's not just something that we, well, we've got it, now everything is back the same, we can do it. No, no. We have a new vocation we've been called to, and the believer is to walk worthy of that. What are things that make up that vocation? Is prayer part of that? Is witnessing part of that? Is studying part of that? Is living part of that? Yes, it is. It's all brought together in that whole concept. And He calls us to walk worthy of that vocation to which we are called. Verse 17. Warning, if you want to take it for that way. This I say then, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind. The word vanity really means emptiness. And it means that this old fleshly mind cannot comprehend. It cannot produce. It cannot accomplish anything in the realm of the spiritual, in the spiritual things. It can't do it. And He describes this as not walking after the old life, but the new life. Remember what a walk is? It's a path, it's a course, it's a direction, it's a life plan. It's all involved in this matter of walk. And so He says, we are not to walk as other Gentiles or like unbelievers. You know, we sometimes get caught in the trap of getting involved in what the world likes to get involved in. There are a lot of good things out there. I like to watch football. I like to watch baseball once in a while. I like to play it. Don't much anymore. But it's enjoyable. We get taken up with some of these things. And, you know, one of those things that affects a lot of our believers, especially our parents with young people in school, sports become more important than spiritual things. I'm not saying sports are bad. The problem is they circumvent the spiritual things. there's more time donated, taking time off. Well, we got to go to the our kids are in the they're in the playoffs. We've got to go. And so for the next 6 weeks, miss prayer meeting Sunday night, sometimes Sunday morning. Are the playoffs that important? I just use that as an illustration. That are these things of the world, are they more important than that which that walk that develops us in our Christian maturity? It ought not to be. And it doesn't mean that those things are, in a sense, wrong, only in the sense that it detracts from the more important spiritual, eternal things. And it's a hard lesson to learn sometimes. I remember a family we had where we were one time, and the kids were growing up on a farm, and they got involved in 4-H. 4-H is a great thing. The problem was, over the next 5 years, we lost them. They were so involved in 4-H that spiritual things didn't take second place. They were last place. And sad to say, it showed its life in the life of those kids. We get taken up with the things of this world, but they're good things, but they're not the best. And that's why he calls again and again for this idea of walk. It might be laborious as we read each one of these and that, but if the Word of God sees fit to repeat them as often as he does, we better take notice of it. We better be impressed with it. Chapter 5, verse 2, Ephesians. Well, let's go with verse 1, 2. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in... What's the next phrase there? In what? Love. How do we do that? Oh, I know. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. The Spirit of God is the producer of love that qualifies for a recognition of part of the vocation to which we are called, to walk in love. And all that that entails, we can go through 1 Corinthians 14 and see all that love is. Patient, kind, all that. But we are to walk in love. Look at verse 8. He says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Our light is to our life is to manifest that light of life that comes from the Spirit of God working through us. And we're to walk in love, walk as children of light. His next verse 15 is an interesting verse. He says, then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. I've heard it described, that word circumspectly, as like walking on eggshells. Okay? But it means that we are very deliberate and careful in that walk. We are to walk circumspectly. We want to go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. And he said, therefore, let us as many as are mature, perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God will reveal it unto us. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the thinking. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as ye have us as an example. The believer is to be an example to the world and to other believers. That's our walk. It's at that deliberate step by step. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. And he says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Look at, there's four things there. Walking worthy of the Lord, being pleasing in the sense of satisfying that which is expected of the believer, being faithful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's part of our walk that we're responsible to be involved with. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How do we receive Him? How do we receive the Lord? Huh? By faith. As ye received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. By faith. We said it before. Or the Scripture said it before. We are to walk like in the same manner that we have received the Lord Jesus, by faith. Chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. What does it mean? How we react to other unbelievers, how we live before them. And that we do, when we do this, we take advantage of every opportunity that comes to us. Sharing the truth, the word. And this is that which we're responsible to become involved with in our everyday activities. Walk in wisdom, because it's wise to take advantage of the opportunities that the Lord gives to us. I remember I was in my office one day, it's been years ago, and got a phone call. And the person asked for someone else. And I said, I think you have the wrong number. And they said, isn't this such and such and so? I said, yes, but there's nobody here by that name. Thank you. Phone rang again. And I thought, boy, maybe. And I was thinking before it called back again, maybe I should have said something to that person. Phone rang again, the same person. And I said to them, I'm sorry, you have the wrong number. I missed an opportunity to share with them. Maybe it wasn't an accident that that person called the wrong number twice. And I should have had an opportunity, taken advantage of the opportunity just to share a word of testimony with them. Missed the boat. Taking advantage of each opportunity. Now, we go to Thessalonians chapter 1 or chapter 2. And some of this is repetitious. But we want to look at chapter 2 and verse 12. And he says, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. I wonder if we grasp the perspective of what Paul is trying to reveal or instill in these folk at Thessalonica concerning this. To walk worthy of God, who hath called you to his kingdom and glory. That the walk that we have should testify to the place that we are going to spend eternity in. Sharing the glory, the kingdom of God. Do we walk? Is our walk in such a manner that it gives understanding to those about us that this world is not my home? As a songwriter says, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up, what? Somewhere beyond the blue. that we should be walk in that manner, that this is not our permanent home. It's heaven. It's the presence of the Lord. Verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4. I beseech you, therefore, pleading with you, and exhort you of the Lord, that you want, that as you received of us, how you ought to walk to please God, and that you would abound, that it increase more and more. First John. Chapter 1. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If, and we do, we should. We might not always do that, but we should. Walk in the light. What is he talking about? We should be so walking in fellowship with God. Our fellowship should be so intimate and so real that it would testify that we belong to Him, that we're walking with Him. That daily expression of that relationship that we have. 2 John 2. Verse 6. He says, and this is a love, this is love, that we walk after His commandments. Now, let's not associate that with the Ten Commandments. Whatever God says is a command. But the point is, He's talking about God's Word. He says, and this is a commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. We should be walking in the Word, day by day, and maybe sometimes hour by hour. I don't know if you've ever read the Life of George Mueller by E.T. Pearson. We had the privilege of, I think we've read it through 5 times now. And one of the outstanding things with George Mueller, we talk about his faith, that's true. But George Mueller never made a decision. At one time, he had under his responsibility over 2,100 orphans. And in that time, there was not once that they lost and left, were not given meal, food, or anything else. God provided everything. But he never made a decision without going to the Word of God, finding direction, and sometimes 2, 3, 4 times a day, he sought that fellowship, that light, that truth from God. That was what he lived by and walked in, the light of God's truth. We have in respect to this. And verse 4 of 3 John. Okay? Well, actually, we have to begin with verse 3. He says, for I rejoice greatly in the brethren that, and come to testify the truth that is in you, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy to hear than to hear that my children walk in truth. The truth is God's truth, the reality of that ministry, the Spirit of God within us. Now, I want to close with this. And ask yourself this question. Am I satisfied with my walk with the Lord? Am I satisfied with that? Only you can ask for that. Should I be satisfied with the walk that I now have? We have to ask ourselves the question. Can it be improved, this walk with the Lord? Or are we just blasé and go on? No. And then ask ourselves another question. Do you think the Lord is satisfied with your walk with Him? Do you think He's satisfied? Is your life plan according to or in agreement with God through His Word? Only you can answer that. But if we're going to walk as He wants us to do that, we need to ask ourselves these questions and then trust the Lord to lead us in answering what they are and how to deal with them. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that You have given us this challenge, these instructions of what kind of walk we should have, how we should do it, when. And Father, that we might have that desire to have that walk that pleases You in the light of Your truth. We thank You for giving us the insight to what You expect, and that You've given us the Spirit of God to make it happen. Help us to have that desire, that determination, that our walk will be what You are satisfied with. And we ask this in our Savior's name. Thank You, Father, for the time that You've allowed us to gather here. Thank You for Your Word. It's the light of life. It's that which gives us light to our feet and to our pathway. May we claim it for Your glory and for our good. In our Savior's name we ask it. Amen. Lord bless You. Thank You for letting us come, Pastor.
Thank You for coming. You can come anytime. I know you're a little busy up where you're at normally, so I'd love to have you again soon. If you have your hymnals, would you turn to 414? We'll just sing the first verse as we close this evening. Time got away from us. We wanted to share a few testimonies, but it's 7:20 already. So we'll close with 414. First verse only. Notice the word walk.
And with all who will trust and obey.